Butter bei den Hühnern. Folge 48. Speed Dating bei der SVG mit Jackson Hau. Moin und herzlich willkommen zur Folge 48 unseres Butter bei den Hühnern Podcasts. Heute sind wir mal bei Björn Ole hier zu Hause. Vielen Dank, Björn.
Sehr gern.
Weil so kurzfristig hat es dann bei der Avakant doch nicht geklappt. Ist sehr kurzfristig, sodass wir heute auch es nicht schaffen, einen deutschen Part mit einzufügen. Das war dann einfach zu kurzfristig. Sodass wir heute komplett in Englisch das Ganze abhalten werden. Und ich freue mich, dass wir aber einen ganz super interessanten Gast mal wieder hier dabei haben. So, welcome to Jackson Hau.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, then let's speak in English up to now. Okay, we are recording, I think...
2 days before the first semifinal.
Yeah,
against Düren. Okay. It's Friday before the semifinals.
So, Jackson, you are coming from a volleyball family?
Yeah, I have a twin sister who's currently playing in Brazil.
Oh.
Yeah, she's part of the national team. My brother played university, but now he coaches. He's a gym teacher, but he coaches volleyball. And my dad played university with Jesse's dad, actually, Tom Elser.
Yeah.
And my mom was a basketball player, so she's the odd one out.
So when you all meeting at home, you play volleyball together or
less volleyball? I would say more basketball, bocce ball, if you know what that is.
Yeah, bocce.
Yeah,
we say here.
Okay. Yeah. Then we do some dirt biking in the summer. We do sports behind the boat, like wakeboarding, surfing. Yeah, great. I don't know if it's as common here, but it's pretty big back home in Canada during the summer.
So, okay, it's warm enough.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's warm enough. It's not, yeah, winter's bad, but yeah, in the summer it gets pretty nice.
Okay.
It sounds like you grew up countryside.
Yeah, Calgary is more country. I wouldn't say I'm country. We live in like a community with a bunch of houses, you know, but definitely Calgary, you know, every kind of bar and club and a lot of restaurants are more catered to, you know, country themed and yeah, music. So
you didn't mention American football, but when we look in the arena, we see Jesse and you playing.
Yeah. Yeah. I never played football growing up, but yeah, it's kind of a fun thing to do before the game. It's good to warm up your shoulder, but it's also kind of just fun to do something different than volleyball.
It's a kind of a ritual?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, if I didn't do it before a game, I would be a little bit superstitious. But I only started, me and Jesse started doing it this season. So it's a new thing.
Yeah.
And there's already more people starting it. I think it was Axel and Daniel, was it?
Yeah, or Shane.
Axel and Shane, that was it, yeah.
And we've heard a couple other teams have been doing it before games, so we're starting a trend, I think.
Yeah.
Sure looks like it.
Trendy, okay. Okay, you started your, I would say, career in the Trinity Western University.
University.
Sorry,
yeah. That's the word.
University. you can imagine we know this university a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And you played till 2021. Yeah.
Yeah, the 2021-2022
year. Is it near from you where you are living, or why did you go there?
It's not, I mean, it's Canada's really big. It's about a 10-hour drive. Mm-hmm. So I would drive there. But my twin sister was playing there. Jesse signed there. I knew a couple of the guys playing there. They had a, similar to Ludenberg, a really good reputation with the coach, how the university runs as far as sports-wise, especially the volleyball team. Yeah, so there's a lot of pulls to go there and play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you meet Stefan back then already?
No, I met him in the summer of 2022 with the national team.
Oh yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
we had him on in the first episode of this season, and he just said, "Yeah, I've known Jackie from Canada."
Yeah.
So that was it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So I first met him there. He was good friends with my coach, university coach, Ben Josephson. So.
I think he was also the coach of the national team at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
But only it ended in this.
Yes, it was.
I realize.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. It was only one summer. That my last year of university was his last year coaching at Trinity Western. And he wanted to do a national team full time. And then, yeah, it didn't work out. It was a difficult summer. But I think the national team had another coach in mind that wasn't available at the time and then later was. So it was too bad because I think Benjo would have done really well.
Mm-hmm.
But he moved on and he's coaching in the States. He's coaching for, I think he's an assistant coach for Kentucky women.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah. Okay.
So it's the kind of the big leagues in North America where there's... Yeah, a lot of money, a lot more fans. The women's volleyball is pretty big there.
Yeah.
Is it more than Canada in the US?
Yeah. I like men are comparable, but the women are... The Division I is really good volleyball, and yeah, a lot of financial support. And yeah.
So the highest league in the US is NCAA.
Yeah.
Right. And I've seen on Instagram that like the women are trying to set up a pro league, like the Bundesliga as well.
Yeah, they actually already have, I believe, two leagues going. I know a few girls that are doing it, and it's not as long as a season as the Bundesliga.
Yeah,
it's shortened. But they've kind of experimented. I think one season they had a draft every week or two where they would make new teams and players would play together. And it was more players individually were more incentivized to do well and get awards and bonuses and stuff like that. But now they have more solid teams and are creating a league that's attracting a lot of women to play
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember 2022, Piers Eschenke came to Lüneburg and he played also in the national team.
Yeah.
And I remember he was also on the podcast here.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to look for him when he played in the national team.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, a guy I didn't know before, Jackson Howe, he was playing in a Piers and I was playing. So I want to see Pearson.
Yeah.
You played, I think, in the VNL it was,
yeah.
I think, in this year.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but it was your first year, 2022, international team, and you're still playing there?
Yeah, I've kind of bounced around a bit because we've had so much turnover with coaches. My first summer making the B national team was 2018 summer. I was one of Pierce was on that team too, actually, and a guy, Eric Lepke, Canadian guy. But I think we were the youngest on the team at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've done a lot of B team summers. Then I played an A team summer. Then I've played two more B team summers and then another A team summer. So I've bounced around a little bit, but Pierce and I actually lived together in the 2022 season, and we're planning to live together this summer with the national team.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's lovely. Pierce is an awesome guy.
Yeah.
I've met him the season he was here.
Yeah, really great guy. He's getting married this summer. Jesse and I are in his wedding party. So,
ooh, nice.
Yeah, we're excited to celebrate the special day with him.
I was wondering when the wedding was, but I just saw the engagement.
Yeah, I think it's this July. I couldn't tell you the exact date, but I'll be there.
we will not be coming.
Yeah, it's a far.
It's a bit far, far. Yeah.
And then 2022, you went to France to... Oh, I have to
look for Alterna Stade Poitvin Volleyball.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Poitiers.
Why Poitvin?
Poitiers. Poitiers.
Yeah.
What was the reason why you changed to France?
Well, yeah, it was my first contract was France. My agent at the time told me it was a good place, and it is a really good place. Great supporters, fun gym. And it was a good place, I think, to start off with, and I ended up being there 3 years, so it was a while I was there for. Yeah.
Okay. And after that, you came to the SVG.
Yeah.
And it was was heißt nicht vorhersehbar?
A surprise.
A surprise. Yeah.
Unplanned.
For sure, it was. Yeah, I the last two seasons of Potier, I struggled with a lot of injuries, especially my last year there. I think I didn't play half the season with a herniated disc. So late into the summer, I'm still not sure what I'm going to do. There was a few opportunities in France, but I just wasn't really sure if I wanted to go back. I wanted something new. And then, unfortunately, Shane hurt himself. I was watching that game, and a couple players reached out to me, said it's a serious injury. Reach out to Stefan and see what next year looks like, because Lunenburg's a great place. So I reached out to him, and next day hopped on a phone call. And the rest was history. I signed shortly after and was ready to go to Lunenburg.
And is it like you expected?
No, I had no expectations. I wanted to go to a place I really enjoyed. I wanted to prioritize just staying healthy was, I think, the biggest thing. And I knew Stefan being a former player, and I knew kind of how he operated, and asked him some questions, and he was, it was, our phone call was really great. I thought to myself, this is a place I know I'm going to enjoy, and I believe I can stay healthy and start doing the right things, and that seemed to be the case, so it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out, yeah.
Stefan really does have a reputation in Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, having worked there and all that, it's always great to see, especially having players like come on because of Stefan.
Yeah.
I've heard that a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's the main reason they came to Lunenburg.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not heard anyone regret it yet.
No, I don't think you really could. Also talking to Stefan, he just has so much experience as like a middle blocker. And for me, that was really exciting and has been really good. He's like other coaches are a bit more hands-on, like technical. But with Stefan, it's been more like visualizing things, reading the game, kind of letting things naturally kind of take place, which I've really liked. I think it's a nice way to improve and play volleyball.
Mm.
Yeah.
You have more things for your free decision, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
He wants it. It makes you better because you can decide, or you can talk to Stefan. That's what I think. So.
Yeah, yeah. He's
not as strict.
Yeah, he's not. He's not so strict. And I mean, he definitely has the guy's respect. Like, his voice is loud, not in like physically loud where he's like yelling all the time, but it's, you know, people hear him, you know, and respect what he says. So yeah,
he's been more importantly coach. People listen.
Yeah, yeah, they listen. Yeah,
but isn't it the nearly same type? I don't know Ben Josephson, but isn't it comparable from the type of
play? I would say they're pretty comparable in a lot of ways. Like there's for sure some differences in volleyball perspective or how they see the game and coaching style a little bit, but the personal kind of aspect of being good with the guys on the team and supportive and caring is aligned for sure with both coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you know already some things about. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the Bundesliga.
Yes.
Did you watch the other teams up to now, which are playing now in the playoffs, or you have enough of volleyball when you play?
Yeah, like the season, like watching other teams play as playoffs are going on, or during the season. Yeah, a little bit, but you know we're playing every like 3 days, so I mean, we kind of get to see everyone and try to focus on one team at a time, one game at a time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's what Jesse said. He doesn't want anything to do with volleyball apart from work, because he's got so much around him and doesn't want to spend his free time watching volleyball.
Yeah, I go in phases. I'm still with my university team. There's a site called Volumetrics where you can see pretty much every team in the world play and in different leagues. And I watch that pretty consistently just to see. I like watching teams in Poland and Italy, a couple in France and Germany. I don't think it's streamed there. Some of the Champions League games are. Will be on Volumetrics, but yeah, I like to watch other things just to get ideas or see kind of the best do something and see if I can replicate it or learn something. But yeah,
the live streams here in Germany, especially with the CV and Champions League, excuse the word, are really a clusterfuck.
Yeah,
you can watch one game there and the other one over there. It's not as complicated as soccer though.
No,
it's really bad this season from what I've heard. Like,
oh, really?
Five different streaming services.
Oh boy.
And one game's on Disney, one game is, don't know if it's on Netflix, but yeah. Prime and all that stuff. Join WoW, Sky. If you want to watch all of them, it would be combined over €100 per month.
Oh my
just
goodness.
Spending on streaming services.
Yeah, that's crazy. You have to be committed.
So we're off pretty well, just paying for Dine.
Yeah, Dine is really, really great. When I was in France, the live stream was kind of like a club volleyball live stream, like only one angle from the side.
Yeah.
You're not really sure
amateurish.
Who's who.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's also a development in the last 5 years.
Okay.
I think Dine is existing since 2 years, 3 years?
No, Dine exists for a bit longer. They've kind of bought up the rights to some streaming stuff. I know they got the basketball Bundesliga from Magenta, from Telekom. I don't know about handball, but the volleyball Bundesliga started with Spontent, the production firm. They started on Twitch for free, which is how I got back into it, kind of, and Colton. and then they had don't know if they sold it to Dine, but then Dine took over.
Okay.
And it's constantly improving from time to time. It's not as fast as and as professional as, for example, basketball, but they had a different starting point.
Mm.
That's really professional TV stuff with basketball, but I think volleyball is getting there.
Yeah.
Especially when you see the CV productions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I didn't expect that when I came here because I never watched really the German league or Dine. But yeah, it's impressive what they're doing.
It's a good development, yeah. If I look back 5 years ago, I would say 5-6 years, there was nothing. We had one camera. It was automatically followed the ball.
Okay.
And sometimes the ball was too fast for the camera. It was horrible.
That was one of my favorite wins, I think, this season. Because being back in Poitiers, super nervous, just, you know, back to a place you've been for 3 years and want to finish the job. Got an 18-hour bus ride. It's going to suck if we lose. Tough. And luckily Ethan Chaplin just went on a crazy serving run to win the third set. And then everyone got to play. Shane got to play. We're all happy. And the bus ride was not so bad. Still long, sure, but yeah.
So. It was not so bad.
Yeah.
So I was just irritated by the shape of the roof of the gym.
Yeah, it's a bit odd.
Is it weird to play, or is it not really?
No, you don't really notice it. It's a bit weird when you first get there. Like, you don't really see gyms like that anymore, but. Yeah, it's a pretty good gym to play in.
It did look cool, though. Don't get me wrong.
The fans are really loud too. It's really difficult to, you know, hear your teammates, but it's a lot of fun.
I thought we were loud.
No, you guys are loud too. It's probably the most like interactive fans. Like, everyone's participating and into the game, which is more of a European thing, where back in North America it's a lot more passive. It's more like you're at home watching television.
That's a goal of the Lunablock, to participate, to give you the power and strength.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, so
yeah.
we don't want to give the power only when you are winning,
mm-hmm.
because then you have the power for sure for yourself.
Yeah.
Not even if you are 10 points back.
Yeah.
So we want to give you the strength. It's not not in every case very easy, but we try to.
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, it's a lot easier playing at home. That's for sure. The crowd is a lot of fun.
In every case easier, or is it sometimes a little bit harder if it's very loud? Because you know everyone is looking on you.
Yeah, I try not to think about it too much, like about what's going around. Just more just use the noise as like energy instead of like, oh, should I be nervous or what are people thinking? I don't really care. I just try to play as best as I can and win.
Yeah.
As long as the opponents are intimidated by us.
Yeah, exactly. I think even the teams coming to our arena are happy. Like, I see some guys, I know when Lisbon came and it was before the match and we were both standing on the end line and there's some guys looking around just smiling like, this is so cool. Like, they're not used to it.
It is, yeah. So. I've even heard it from Tobias Krieg, who played in Berlin last season, that it's one of the best arenas in mm-hmm. the Bundesliga. And he played in Berlin,
yeah.
Which is much bigger. But I don't think that the vibes are there, just like
yeah.
here.
Yeah, I agree.
It's different there.
Yeah,
it's
for like sure.
Much bigger and not as close as the LK Arena.
Yeah.
So we will try our best together that you can win and then you have the next crown again.
Yeah.
You have it at your home.
We'll get the double.
Yeah. I think I have it in my car.
In the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case. So everyone, every time you can react.
Yeah.
Okay.
In case you come across the guy from Hersching.
Yeah. If he's wearing his crown, I'll bring up my crown in.
He didn't like that too much, did he?
No, he didn't like it at all.
We've seen it on stream and it's like, come on.
Yeah, he
gave it to him.
Yanked it off my head pretty quick.
Yeah.
But fair.
Well, what was nice. Okay. When you look back to this season, doesn't matter if it's a CFL challenge, Champions League or Bundesliga or Cup. What are your highlights? What were the highlights for you?
I think, the Potier game was a big highlight. I think seeing Shane come back playing in the home arena was cool, really cool. Just to see the support and, the excitement around that. It's been a while since he's got an opportunity to play at a healthy level. I don't know. The games kind of blend together. I think just there's like certain bus rides and after games hanging out with some of the guys on the team that are I think the best kind of memories of just enjoying each other's company and laughing and having inside jokes and some practices, like there's a lot of ones that are just like a funny kind of thing that happened in practice that we're still talking about now.
Okay.
So no one else would get it.
Yeah.
That's lovely. It does come a long way, getting along with the teammates. Because if you don't get along with them, you might as well leave.
Yeah, it makes it a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I really respect the talent that Stefan has. Like, he's got some kind of magic hat where he gets players that just get along.
Yeah,
from scratch.
Yeah, well, actually, if I had one highlight, is Stefan had an idea. It might have actually been his wife with the idea. That they've done in the past, but it's speed dating. So when we went to Poland, it was kind of a difficult point in the season. We lost to Lisbon, and all of us after that, like, it was nice. We came third in the pool, but we had a few games before that where we went to five and we just weren't really playing super well. The motions on the court were more negative than positive, and Stefan had us do speed dating where we had about 4 minutes with each guy on the team, and he had a list of questions about like, how can I support you, what do you want from me, and the guys were just super honest. Like, if there was things that they see that they would like you to change, or how can I help you. And it was really, it was some constructive criticism, but also like, man, I value you as just our friendship. Like, volleyball aside, I'm just grateful that we get to spend this season together. So like, it was really cool just to see each guy's perspective on yourself, but then, them listen to what you had to say about them, that you wouldn't just randomly say like, I really value our friendship. Like, it's kind of a hard thing to just bring up in everyday life, So I thought that was a really powerful exercise that went really well, that everyone bought into, where I could see other teams just like, oh, we have to do speed dating. Like, this is bull crap. But it was really great.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah.
It does sound great. Yeah.
It was great. It's a
unique team building exercise.
Yeah.
But you said you just don't come across some of these questions in everyday life.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really nice to hear. And I think after that, our team, I think our consistency, but also just the clarity on what other people need in high pressure situations or just daily life or practice, it made it clear. And I think after that, we've bought into, helping the guy beside us.
Did you take notes?
Did I take notes? Yeah, I did. I took notes on my phone. And I think it would be good to look back at those. Because I'm sure there's a couple things that I forget, but a few things that I talked with other people, like one was PD. It was about like communicating at the net. And now it's kind of more just a habit, like between every point when we're blocking, I'll say something to him, he'll say something to me. And that was something that we brought up during speed dating. Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of work a little. When yeah. we do our retros after a sprint, I work in software.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like that. When you notice something from feedback and you make an action item out of it, so you just keep it in mind and
yeah.
try to adapt it
yeah.
into a habit.
Yeah, exactly. It's not always needed, but like it helps if that situation does happen, then you're ready for it and the other guy knows what's going on.
Yeah, gotcha.
At the beginning of the podcast, you said you didn't have much expectations before you came to SVG. But I think you heard a little bit from Jesse or Piers or something about the expectations. And is it like this? You expected it or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I had some expectations because I knew, Stefan, and I heard experiences from other players like Pierce, Sander, Max Helgert, Jesse.
A lot of
guys, yeah.
we did have a lot of Canadians in the past and
yeah.
now as well.
And a lot of Trinity Western.
University
guys too. I definitely had some expectations or I knew some information, but as far as like how the season would go and just what it would be like, it's hard to really expect everything that happened and everything played out so far. So I think it succeeded some expectations, and I also didn't want to, I knew it was going to be a good place, but it's hard if you come into something where you have really high expectations and then it lets you down, then it's not as good. So I didn't want to fantasize too much on what it would be like. Just try to experience it and
let see it what it's come like. To you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's always better not to have too high expectations. Just, go along. Don't get disappointed.
Yeah, I agree.
Can you say something else a little bit about your personal or volleyball goals you have?
Yeah.
Yourself.
I would love to play in the Olympics. I'd love to play in Poland or Italy. So those are like some goals or some things I would like to do. But I think my biggest priority is trying to play in places that I really enjoy. Because I know joy and kind of the peace that certain places can offer is really important too, to just kind of daily life. And when I look back after I've finished my career, just to say that I really enjoyed what I did and made the most of it.
Okay. You make a difference between Poland or Italy, or is it the same? Are you interested in the point of where you live, or is it only the scale of the professional scale of the league?
I think it's more the scale of the league. I think Italy would probably be nicer to live in than Poland. But yeah, just the level. I just want to play the highest, purest form of volleyball, and it's been cool playing in Champions League to see that, and you know, so yeah, that's more why I would want to, you know, play in those leagues.
Yeah. Even when I saw for the first time the SVG playing in Champions League, it's just another game.
Yeah.
When I remember, I'm really a long time, I looked for the SVG from the beginning of the third league. I looked for, and it's at the beginning of a season, every time you say, oh, that doesn't look like volleyball. And after now you can say, sure, at the beginning of the league, oh, it's even in the beginning, it looks like volleyball.
Yeah.
So it's really great. And then you see Champions League, it was such a development. It's really great for us.
When was the first year Lunenburg participated in Champions League?
I think 23-24. Or was it the cup? Either 23-24 or last season.
I would say 23.
The season with Erik.
Yeah. I would say so.
Then it was the 23 season.
Okay.
So the third season, Champions League, would be.
It was the first one, yeah.
Yeah, so we're in the third now. Yeah.
And what were the expectations of the club like 5 years ago?
That's his MO. I didn't watch back then.
Okay.
I remember the first game in the arena. It was was heißt wieder Baustelle?
It was a construction site.
It was really a construction site. The players had to clean their shoes when they came from the locker room and then go to the playing field.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting for us, but we didn't know where do we stand as SVG in the international
level
of Europe.
Yeah.
And really we won the first international game 3-0, and we were very glad about but it was a young team, and the problem was we lost the game away game then, and even the Golden Z for this, it was only in the first league, but in the next season we made a good job, and I think the next season was then the game against Modena.
So, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I watched.
And it was the first time when we won against a really good, well-known team in Europe, and from there on, everything is possible. And you can imagine, it's really
that game really set something off.
Yeah,
I looking back at it,
so you can say everything is possible. Nearly every time when we talk in the beginning of the season, we have always a podcast with Stefan, and I ask him, I think two years ago.
Ich stift bitte.
Okay, you want?
I want to write something down, just for me.
And I ask him. Now you interrupted me, and I
don't want to. Sorry.
No.
As they say in Canada. Is it really that stereotype? That
sorry?
You say sorry for everything?
For sure. I would say that checks out.
Now I remember what I wanted to say.
Sorry.
I know you were saying every year you talk to Stefan at the beginning of the season.
And he always... And I said to him, every season it's going better. And then you know, no, wait, let's see what will come. And it's going better.
Yeah.
Where does it end?
Yeah.
And every time he says, so let's look. But it can't be, every season it can't be better. Every season it gets better. Even not in the Corona time, but it was really a hard time. But if you... Look for the others, everyone, every season it was a development. It was really amazing. It's
been like that for the last years. You're at the end of a season and it cannot get better than this. And then magic, and it somehow gets even better. It's really impressive, and I have it before me. You talking with Stefan and Tim, saying, "Ah, let's see what the next season brings." Just kind of
his saying every time
as he is, yeah, really settled.
Yeah, yeah, and I know Stefan's interviews are more. Like he probably doesn't give like a clear answer, like it will be better, like it just, yeah, let's see about it. Yeah, he doesn't.
I remember at the away game against Düren that we lost, the commentator tried to kind of tease him, like, haha, we beat you. He was really unimpressed by that. Just yeah. Didn't move a single a mouth. He was really unimpressed. Others were like, "Ah, come on, we're still better." So yeah, you won. So good. Congratulations.
When was that?
That was, I think, at the start of the season. The first away game against Düren, Bundesliga game.
Oh yeah,
that was, I think, 3-0.
Yeah, yeah, that one. I kind of forgot about that one. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Düren's a good team. It'll be a really challenging series with them, also because they're similar to us, as I think they enjoy playing together, like they're good buddies, and that makes it more difficult when, you know, a team sticks together when they're losing, so it makes it hard to just put them away in fast, and in three sets they'll just stick around till the end, so yeah, it'll be good.
Did you play with John Canham at all?
I played I played a bit in the summer with him when we went VNL week 3 to Slovenia, and then I played I think 2 summers with him with B team. But university, we always played against each other. He was from the Alberta Bears team, like one of our rivals. They beat us in nationals my last year. So he got the last laugh.
Nice. It's always great to see you guys talk after the games, especially I always seeing Sho and Matsu, the libero from Hersching. Some of the only Japanese players in the Bundesliga. And they just stick together when they see each other.
Yeah.
So same with the Canadian guys, from what I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's like a Canadian guy you just want to talk to him, even if you don't know him super well. Just you can just relate a lot when you're from the same country.
Yeah, especially overseas. Yeah. Just kind of really the minority here.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's volleyball that connects you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if we talk about summer, we already talked about the VNL this summer, and I think you will see them. But the VNL is ending in, I think, June, maybe?
Yeah. Or maybe start of July. I think maybe it depends with VNL finals. There's 3 weeks and then the VNL finals.
It's starting in June.
Yeah.
It's starting in June. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. We have the 10th to 14th of June for the German players in Canada.
Yeah.
They play against Canada as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you will play against the German.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'll meet some of the Bundesliga guys there.
Yeah, it'll be nice to reunite. Yeah.
Okay, and if the when the VNL is ended, do we have another tournament this summer with the national team, or is it the only one, the VNL?
There's like a Pan Am tournament. Yeah. At the end of the year, which is more the important one to qualify for the Olympics. So
is it every year?
There's Pan Ams and Norsecas, so it's just like North American teams, and like Mexico will be there, a couple other teams. But yeah, it's mostly every year. That's the B team plays usually one tournament every year, and it's usually in Mexico, or 1 year it was Dominican Republic. But yeah, they're definitely not as organized, or the like hotel is hit and miss. Usually it can be kind of a sketchy city, where like there's been years where, you know, you're escorted with a police car, two motorcycles with machine guns. You can't leave the hotel because of cartel. So yeah, it's a bit different than VNL. VNL is like pretty safe.
That is wild, the things you experience. I think the SVG had that in Slovenia, was it? Or Bulgaria? And some of in one away game, they had a little police escort as well.
Yeah.
Was it police escort?
Could be also in Poland? Just, I don't know.
Maybe that. It was either police or private security escort.
Yeah.
Which is wild if you think about it. It's just volleyball. It's not football.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So it's time for a surprise for you.
Is it really a surprise?
Yeah, surprise. We have a small quiz. Normally we have two guests and they play against each other.
Okay.
So for that you can't play it against each other, but it's maybe you can explain the rules. It's a small quiz about Lüneburg.
Okay.
Maybe we want to know, what do you know about Lüneburg?
And what you can you win learned? For sure.
Okay.
So we want to know what you like to drink or to eat or something for your prize. We have to. And I need the pen for it.
You can choose your own prize.
My own prize. So. Yeah.
So something to drink or. What did we have?
We've had plenty. We've had whiskey. We've had wine, beer.
We had also chocolate.
Apple spritz for Axel, because it seems to not exist in Denmark.
Also whiskey.
It's just apple juice with sparkling
water.
Oh,
yeah.
Classic. Chocolate, tea.
Maybe a schnitzel.
Schnitzel? Ready or...
No, we bring him the whole pig.
Yeah.
Small pig.
Small pig, yeah. Still I'll prepare it.
A little piggy.
No, okay.
I know a place where we can get one.
Yeah, we can take it from our budget for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
That's new for us. Is it schnitzel in Canada also well known, or is it...
No, not as well known. I would.
Okay.
Well, it's. I don't know. I don't have many conversations. Like, do you know what a schnitzel is? But I imagine it's not as well known.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never thought about this.
So in Canada, it's not the first thing people talk about when thinking about Germany.
Yeah, maybe not the first thing. Well, it could be up there. I feel like a lot of people know what a schnitzel is.
Okay. It's
kind of become an English word.
Yeah,
for it, because I can't think of any English word for it.
No, I can't either.
I mean, we have that the same with English words in the German language.
Yeah.
So it's a two-way road. All right.
Okay, will you start?
Yeah, we have four questions and three possible answers.
Okay.
Only one is right for each question. The first one, not the easiest one, you may know it. Why did Lüneburg become wealthy in the past? Or how? The options are because of gold mines under the market square, because of salt trade, because everyone was really good at Monopoly.
I'm going to go, I know it's salt, the salt trade.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's correct. Have you done one of the city tours with Jürgen?
No, I haven't yet. I actually went to the church tour, though, two years ago.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw the church bells. But every time he does a tour, it's before a game. So I haven't been able to do it, but I want to before I leave.
Bad timing. Always.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
I mean, right now it's just game after game. It's,
yeah.
It's a lot. Not really much time.
It should be on a free day.
Yeah.
You have so the day after a game. Yeah.
Are there any free days?
Yeah.
The next question.
Yeah, I don't know how many more free days we'll have. Well, yeah, we'll see. I have to set it up.
Yes. So next question. What does the term Hanseatic City mean? Is it A, a city where many people used to be called Hans? Is it B, a member of a medieval merchant's trading alliance? And that's a long one. Or is it C, a city with exceptionally good beer?
I think I'm going to go B.
That is correct.
Oh, let's go.
There's a couple of Hanseatic cities in northern Germany. It's Rostock, okay. Where Van der Minde plays. Lübeck is a well-known one. There's a few more.
Rostock?
Hamburg.
Yeah,
Hamburg. And we had Rostock.
Yeah, because I know Lüneburg, I think I heard it at one time was the third biggest city in Germany.
That's a long time ago.
In a medieval time.
In medieval, yeah.
Yeah, when the Hanse was a real thing.
Mm.
That's a couple of years ago. Yeah. I mean, you still see what salt did to the city. There's that one road that just sunk.
Yeah.
Where they had to tear down the buildings.
Yeah.
There were houses on that street.
Wow.
It's not too long ago. They had to tear them down. They stood for pretty long. And they were just all over the place.
That's so crazy.
And people wanted to live there until the very last moment.
Wow.
That was so the city had to come and say, you cannot live there. It's too dangerous. That's because of an old mine shaft.
Really?
Below, yeah.
Wow.
I can highly recommend the Salt Museum.
Yeah, actually, my father and his friend are visiting. They just came in yesterday. And that's one of the things we want to do. So we might do that tomorrow before practice.
It's very interesting, especially having grown up here.
Yeah.
Nice. So the next question, which German greeting will you hear a lot in Lüneburg? Is it A, Grüß Gott, B, Moin, or C, Servus?
Moin. It's always B.
It's always B, yeah. What have you done?
So you can see B before he says the next one.
Yeah. And that was an easy one because Axel always says Moin.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was in Freiburg, the first thing when you guys came in was Axel saying Moin. So next one. What might a Canadian find especially strange in Germany? Is it A, separating trash into way too many categories? B, perfectly punctual trains? Or C, that nobody says sorry?
Ooh, it's between A and C, I think. I might say A, because I've done it a few times and I'm a bit confused still how they operate in Germany and why different colors of bottles go into different bins.
Yeah, that's correct. We don't have any punctual trains here.
Yeah, I hear they're late all the time.
Sometimes. You can be lucky. I was when I drove back from Freiburg.
Yeah, that's...
It's rare.
It's surprising to me. I thought Germany was just the efficiency of the country, you know?
Mostly. Mostly. Yeah. Not when it comes to trains.
Yeah.
That's Japan with the...
Yeah.
Trains on time, but not us, unfortunately. It would be great, though. We're too reliant on cars.
Yeah, the Volkswagens.
So, but you got enough points for Schnitzel, so...
Perfect.
Yeah, you did. Got all of them right.
Nice.
They were too easy.
Yeah, I think they could have been more challenging, but
I've switched the options on the third fourth questions because it would have been B again.
I shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, we didn't know what do you know exactly about Lüneburg, so it was a very easy.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
We'll make it harder for the next guest.
So do you enjoy living in Lüneburg?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the city's, really beautiful. It's pretty quiet. I mean, the traffic is surprised for how small of a town it is. I'm surprised sometimes with the traffic, but it's not, terrible. Pretty quiet. I really like the amount of paths and different walks you can take. Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed that, riding my bike in the forest and going for walks. It's been nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you don't go everywhere with your car?
Yeah, not every, most places, but if I have a free day or maybe a morning, I'll sometimes go for a walk. Or been trying to take my bike more now the sun's out.
Yeah, there's plenty of green here. Don't have that with all cities of that size.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make Lüneburg quite unique.
Yeah.
2000, I started to live here near Lüneburg, and my wife and me, we were searching for a new point for living. Then we came here and looked for, and then we heard the clappering of horses in the city. And then, okay, that's a point. Here we want to live. No, it's really great. Yeah. Even with SVG.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How often or if any have you been recognized in the city?
Yeah, a few times. I went to the Salou with Jesse and maybe it was Santi or Daniel, but yeah, a guy started talking to us in the sauna.
Just like, great.
So, you guys think you can win the next game?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, let's talk about work in the sauna.
Yeah. Yeah, then on the street a couple times where somebody's honked and like kind of given me like a fist bump or something.
This is also a difference between the last years. So 5 years ago, nobody would see that SVG is playing in the first Bundesliga.
Yeah.
But with the arena, now everyone knows, nearly everyone knows.
And one title.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
Yeah, it's much more present over the couple of last years, which is great. I mean, there's still that advertisement in the Beckerstraße,
mm-hmm.
but that's still Theo and Sander.
Yeah.
So not really.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
The most recent jerseys, but I like them. I was really skeptical about the home jerseys when I first saw them, but now I love them.
Yeah, they look nice.
I like them more than the away shirts by now.
Yeah.
Especially for taking photos.
Yeah, I agree. That's actually, we all have jobs on the team, and that's one of my jobs is the jersey guy, so I have to take care of the jerseys and bring them to every game. And then my other job is the net. So if we're not practicing the LKH, then I have to bring a net between gyms. And
Okay. I think someone told me you once confused your jerseys.
You
got the CV one.
Well, that was the first week we were here. I think I was only in Lüneburg for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And we were leaving for Poland and I grabbed, I think, two jersey sets and I didn't look that they're CV or Bundesliga. And then I talked to, I think it was Neo, about the jerseys. I'm like, these are the jerseys we have to bring, right? And he's like, you're kidding. I'm like, no. He's like, no, we need these. I'm like, oh no. So I got Jesse's wife to bring my jerseys to the bus as we waited there. And then Stefan's like, well, we know who's going to have the jerseys is their job. So I, yeah, I screwed myself over.
Made your own peril.
Yeah.
Okay, I think these were the points we wanted to talk about.
Nice.
So we are at the end of this episode, and we have to thank you very, very much. Great to having you here.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for making it work on such short notice as well.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
And all the best, and we want to have much fun and enjoy the next games together with you.
Yeah.
Enjoy the finals. Oh wait. they're coming.
And we want to see the crown.
Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see it. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you might as well have stolen it again from the king. Yeah. But we're not meeting him again.
No, he's hiding.
Hiding, yeah. So again, the only thing we have to say is Butter.
Bei dir.
Hühnen. Wir sind die SVG aus Lüneburg. Ob groß, ob klein, ob jung oder alt, wir ziehen das Ding hier zusammen durch. Wir sind die SVG aus Lüneburg. Und ganz egal, wer uns gegenübersteht, unser Block hält Stammtisch.